Daniel, you come and you just explain to us what God's put upon your heart.
All right, thank you, Pastor. I'm not going to get too crazy tonight. You can go ahead and have a seat. I'm definitely looking forward to this trip. Before we get started, though, I'd like to shake things up a little bit. That's just what I do. So if you are in first through sixth grade, come on down here and either find a seat in these front two rows here, or if we run out of room here, then I'll just let you adopt my family or something. Not a whole lot of first through sixth graders tonight. Good to see you all again. See you every Wednesday in Patch Club. As I said, I'm looking forward to this trip, and it's my prayer that God will use us and that He will stretch us while we are there. We're going to be doing a VBS, and our theme is going to be the Wild West, so we're going to have all sorts of fun with that. We're going to get wet, we're going to ride some stick horses, all sorts of fun stuff like that. God has laid it on my heart for that week to go over the life of David. And those of you who are working our VBS here, that may sound familiar to you. This actually happened. God laid that on my heart before I found out what we were doing here for our VBS. So we're going to be in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Now, this is a 30-minute Bible lesson condensed into 6 minutes. So buckle your seatbelts and we'll get going. All right. 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Starting in verse 1, and then we'll be jumping around a little bit. The Lord said unto Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." So basically, Saul was in sin, and God said, "Saul is no longer going to lead my people." So God told Samuel, "Go anoint a new king." And Samuel is asking, "Lord, if Saul finds out, he's going to kill me." Would you like to be in that spot, Lemuel? I didn't think so. So Samuel there fears for his life, but he chooses to obey God. Jumping ahead a few verses. It came to pass, this is verse 6, when they were come that he looked on Eliab, and he said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Man sees the outside, but the Lord looks on the heart." So if you see this big, good-looking man walk in, he looks really strong, you think you might want that man to lead you? If you saw Brother Mike walk up to lead the songs, you ready to follow that man wherever he goes? Yes. I realized the rest of my analogy there. Sorry, Brother Mike. Man looks at the outside, God sees the heart. So God tells Samuel that, and the next son comes up. Let's see what it says there. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. So all of his sons go by, and Samuel asked, "Do you have any more sons?" And he said, "Well, there's that one other son, David, who's out with the sheep." And Samuel says, "Bring him before me." So he sent for David, and he saw David, and saw that he had a beautiful countenance. It was good to look on. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for it is he." At that point, he was anointed to be the king of Israel. David was called. But just because he was anointed king at that time, he wasn't given the kingdom at that time. He had to wait. He was satisfied where God had him. Instead of rushing ahead and saying, "All right, let's take the throne," he was content to wait where he was. Now, he wasn't just content, though. He prepared. As he was out with the sheep, he worked on his relationship with God. He wrote psalms, sang psalms, praising the Lord. He was also preparing physically. He was preparing with that sling. He killed a bear and a lion that came to endanger the livestock. So David was called. Then David prepared. He just didn't sit idly by and wait for the day. He was preparing for the day. We're going to jump ahead a little bit to chapter 17, verse 17. Jesse said to David, his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren." So he says, go take this bread to your brothers. So David takes the bread and he takes it to his brothers. And when he gets there, his oldest brother accuses him of coming. He said, "You just wanted to come to the battle to see all the blood." And David had to defend himself a little bit. While David was there, something happens. Goliath came up. And Goliath spoke against God and against the army of Israel. And David asked a question then. Who is this Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? God called David to act. He was called, he prepared, and now we see that David obeyed. Everyone else was running from the giant. David was running towards him. God called David to act, and he did. Verse 40 says, David took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag. The Philistines came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Moving on to verse 43, and the Philistine Goliath said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." So Goliath is making all these threats against David. David coming at him with sticks and stones, basically. And Goliath, there's a man here holding this giant shield, and then Goliath's spear. It's a huge thing. And then David says in verse 45, "Thou come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee." And we all know the story from there. David pulled out a sling, swung it around, let the rock loose, hit the giant, Goliath fell, and David took off his head, just like he said. So we saw that in the beginning, David was called. He was called by God. God laid a burden on him. David prepared. He didn't just sit idly by. And then thirdly, we see that David obeyed. When it came time to act, he went forward in boldness. God has given each one of us a call. He has called us to salvation. Have you responded to that call? And then next, he asks us to prepare. Are you preparing for the work God has? You know, God has something for you that he's going to have you doing. And you can get started on that right now. Reading his word each day. Praying. Getting to know him. That's what David was doing when he was out there with those sheep. And then God calls us to obey. That might not always be the easiest thing. It could be giving someone the gospel. It could be showing love to somebody that you don't like. David was given a challenge. He was given a giant to face. And I know a lot of things in my life, as I go up to face them, they seem like giants. I have some crazy stories about impossible things that I didn't think I could ever do, but I don't have time for those right now. I'm running short on time as it is. So you'll just have to, well, not hear them. I'll tell them to the kids at VBS in Nova Scotia. David ultimately won the victory because he trusted in the Lord. He trusted God with his life. Have you made that decision to trust the Lord with your life? I'm reminded of a story in the Wild West a frontiersman back in the early 1800s by the name of Kit Carson. Some of you may have heard of him. Carson City in Nevada, I think, is named after him. Kit Carson, there's a story told of him, not sure if it's true or not, but it's a good story nonetheless. He was traveling with some companions through this canyon. He could only go this way or this way, walls rising on both sides. A band of Indians came to attack. They begin the battle, firing back and forth, and then Kit Carson realizes we're running out of ammunition. So he tells his companions, shoot your mules. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense because the mules are a little bit faster than they would be running. But he tells his companions, kill your mode of transportation. Crazy idea, right? If you were running away and you were riding something, would you kill it? Probably not. That just seems like a crazy idea. But Kit Carson knew something about the horses that the Indians were riding. Horses have a natural fear of blood. So unless you work your horse to overcome that, a horse is not going to go near blood. So they stop, they kill their mules, spread the blood all around. Canyon wall here, mule bodies and blood all in the middle here. The Indians are charging, then their horses stop because of the blood. Kit Carson and his companions were saved by the blood of their mules. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross. We're all sinners. We all deserve eternal punishment in hell. But he gave his blood for us. He died, he was buried, and he rose again. He did all that for us. Suffered that eternal pain for us. His Father turned his back on him. All right, thank you very much. You can go have a seat with your parents now, unless you're comfortable where you're at and can pay attention up here. Tyler looked like he was ready to take the challenge. That is my purpose for this trip to Nova Scotia. God's calling on me. First, that the gospel would be preached. A number of these kids will have never heard the gospel before, and they're going to have that opportunity. Secondly, through the life of David, we're going to be talking about godly attributes such as faith, love, boldness, diligence, and patience. So for those, especially those who already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, my prayer is that they'll be able to learn to be more in the image of Christ. Please pray with us that as we go out and invite people, that they would come and that they would hear the message. I'm going to be working with the first through sixth graders along with several of the others who will be going. So they're my prayer specifically, but pray for everybody, pray for the teens, and then pray for the Bible conference as well that Pastor will be doing. It's also my prayer that we will be a blessing to the missionaries up there. I want to be able to take a little of their load for a short time, help them to carry that. But the biggest thing I want to leave with you before I step down is David was called, God has given each of us a calling. David prepared. What am I doing? What are you doing to prepare for what God has for you? Are you ready to obey? Our pastor.
Amen. Thank you so much, Daniel. That was a blessing. And I want to know, you know, as I was hearing that story, you know, a lot of times those of us that have grown up in church, of course, I really didn't. I started going to church probably when I was faithfully and learning the Word of God when I was about 21 years old. But most of us grew up in church, and the story of David is like, yeah, here we go again. We're going to be teaching kids that have never even heard of the story of David. And pray that the power of God would be upon Brother Daniel as he teaches the gospel to these children and teaches them the story about David and how God blessed. And it's not just a nice story, it's the Word of God. And just pray and thank you, Daniel. I'm looking forward to just seeing how God will use that series on David with those young people. All right. Andrea, did I see your hand? You'd like to come up and give a testimony? Andrea is one of the few mamas that are going on the trip. It's Andrea and Vanetta that are going to be going. And so glad that God has called her. You want to use this? Or you can use...
When I very first heard about this mission trip, I never really considered going because I've never seen myself go on a mission trip. I've seen my children. I've seen Ricky, but not myself because kind of like what Jeff said, I just don't feel like I have any talents to offer to something like that. From the very first moment that I started praying about this trip, I had total peace with it. So, for whatever reason, I feel like God wants me to go on this trip. So I'm very excited about it, and very excited about going on the trip and what this might entail. But also very excited about flying because at 54 years old, I've never flown before, so I'm excited about that too.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's a blessing. Anybody else from our team like to give a testimony? Brother Darius, give a testimony. And it's going to be a fun group. I'm telling you, we're going to have a blast between Derek and Jeremiah and, all of us. We're all crazy, so we're going to have a good time. And Brother Derek, you give us a testimony.
Well, you know, it's funny. Lorraine and I have often talked about going on vacations. We'd like to go to different places and see different things. And we discussed, you know, this kind of stuff in the past about how cool it would be to go stay with a missionary family and see the real country. At Athens Christian, we got to go to Europe, and Paris looked a whole lot like New York or Atlanta or Las Vegas. People talk different, but they do those places as well. But to be able to go into the real part of the country and see that, but also to be a blessing. Because that is one of my spiritual gifts, is servant. I love to serve people. I love to make people happy. That's just the way I am. And I have been preparing. I'm up to 4 lobster tails at one sitting. Saw all that seed out there. We got to be eating some seafood.
Amen. We will, brother.
But sitting here thinking about the group that's going, with Daniel doing the youth department, I've been around Daniel for many, many years, watching him do that kind of stuff and how good of a job that he does. Then you think of Rick doing the teens. I've been involved with him in the teens and just the excitement that he brings. All the people on the team, Pastor, being excited about doing this. You know, we've never done this before, as far as I know. And I've been here nearly all my life at Crooked Creek. And I don't know that, besides with the Jemancees going to the Dominican Republic, that it's never really been a church-sponsored type thing. So I'm really excited. It's kind of like being picked on that good baseball team, you know. I feel like I'm the ninth man on that great baseball team. And like David said, with the Lord on our side, who is to go against us?
Amen.
So I'm just excited. I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else from the team like to give a testimony? Now's the time if you want to give a testimony. Anybody want to do that? Yeah, Lindsay, come on up.
Hey. So at the beginning of this year, I was really confused and not knowing what I was about, knowing what I was going to do with my life. And so I was praying, and I was thinking, okay, so I'm going to do everything I can this year. I'm going to go on mission trips. I'm going to apply for Windshape Camps, which I got the job to Windshape. I'm going to be gone in the summer working there. And so when I heard that we were going on a mission trip, I automatically was like, all right, let's do it. Ready. So I found out the date, and I was like, okay, it's two days after I get back. I can do that. And then I found out the date got moved 2 days before I was supposed to get back. And I was like, God, what are you doing? I thought you wanted me to do this. And I felt like sure about it. And then I started to get confused again. And I just went through this phase where I was just like, well, I don't even know what you want me to do anymore. But after praying, I was like, I'm going to do everything I can. and if I still feel like you don't want me to go, then I won't go. And then he just started opening doors and, like, showing me things. Like, I'd be looking for tickets on the computer to find a day that I could go by myself. And he would just, like, things run after. I'd be like, oh, I could do that, or I could do this, or I could go on this bus ride to get there. And he eventually just worked it out for me. And I just wanted to praise him for that.
Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful God worked it out for Lindsay, too, because I was a little hesitant, you know, she wouldn't be able to come exactly with the group. But when she finished Wind Shape, she would be able to come right on right after that. And but it worked out. We were able to get transportation worked out, and looks like an airline ticket's going to be no problem. And just so thankful how the Lord did make that clear, and appreciate how he opened that door. Anybody else from the team like to give a testimony? Appreciate all the things that have been said. And Brother Ricky, if you want to work your way up here, brother, we'll let him challenge us from God's Word. I hope you'll be attentive. Thank you, Brother Ricky.
Thank you. Well, as a short word of testimony before I get started tonight, when I was about 14 years old, I had the opportunity to go and do a Bible school in a small community in West Virginia. The church that I was a part of as a teenager, the pastor who had a passion for missions, it was a Southern Baptist church, but he still had a passion for missions. And he sought out a place that we could go and do Bible school, and as a teenager, I was able to go and help do that. Now here it is, 40 years later, and I'm going on a mission trip to a small community with a pastor who has a passion for missions, to teach teenagers and to play games with them again. And I want to tell you, that's just the Lord.
Amen.
That's just the Lord.
That's right.
He gave me 18 years to prepare for this here. I think I was a little slow in learning. But I can tell you, when the topic came up, and I'm like Brother Jeff, when he said the Dominican Republic, it really didn't matter. The Holy Spirit put His finger on my heart and said, "You're going." And of course I said, "Lord, how am I going? I can't pay for that. I can't do what it's going to take to get me there." But He said, "You're going to go." And He's provided different things financially. He's worked things out to get me where I can go up there. And I'm excited.
Amen.
I'm excited. I love teenagers. Besides Miss Geneva, she's not here tonight, I'm the oldest teenager in this church. Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Stone's here. I guess she's older than me too. But I love missions.
Amen.
My heart is bent for missions, every missions conference we have.
Amen.
I didn't know how I would ever be able to go on one, but here we are.
Amen.
And I'm excited and I'm ready to go. I want you, if you would, just to take your Bibles with me for just a minute and go to the book of Acts chapter 13. We're going to be all over the place tonight, because what I want to talk to you tonight is not necessarily about what I'm going to be talking to the teenagers about while I'm there. Because what I want to do is I want to encourage, first of all, our team members.
Amen.
I want you to be prepared for what we're going to be doing. And I want to encourage you to prepare yourself. And then I want to prepare the rest of you who are going to be here waiting on us and encourage you with what God would have you to do as your role while we're gone. In Acts chapter 13, the very first verse, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work thereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Let's pray. Father, help us tonight.
Yes.
To know exactly what our positions are, what our role is in this mission trip, whether we're part of the team or part of the church.
Yes.
God, lead us now and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question, and I'm going to give you the answers to it. So this is like one of those perfect tests, you know. I had a teacher when I was at Gwinnett Hall. The first thing he would do when we were going to have a test is we would have our review night. And what he would do is he'd say, all right, tell me what questions you want on the test. And I was like, true or false, here we go. You know, and then we'd have those people that would say, well, why don't we ask what the 21 steps are? And I'm going, shh. Because what I want to know is the easy parts, okay? I can study the hard parts and learn them as well, but I don't want to have to do them on a test. But let me ask you a question. First of all, why should we do mission trips? Why should we do mission trips? Well, I'll tell you why. The very first reason we ought to do mission trips is we are commanded to evangelize.
Amen.
When we look at just this short section that we were talking about here, we see a church who examined men of that church. And we see the Holy Spirit saying, separate these men out because I want to send them out. And He wasn't just sending them out to just go out and start churches. He was sending them out to evangelize. He was sending them out to teach and to preach the Word of God. And as these men prepared themselves to go, we see over in, that Paul even wrote over in 1 Colossians that he said, we're there to preach the gospel. And as we go to preach the gospel, we're following the Great Commission where we are told in Matthew to go and to teach all nations. And man, can we not put a point on this? We're headed out of the nation, right? We're going to Nova Scotia. Our first reason for going on a mission trip anywhere is we ought to be ready to evangelize. Now that means the team that is ready to go needs to be prepared to evangelize. That means when we have our lessons, we're going to get together, we're going to have some classes, and we're going to go over how to present the gospel. We're going to go over how to take your Bible and open it up and be able to show people how to be saved. You know, we're going to be in a small community. Some of these people may have never set foot in this church that we're going to.
That's right.
But we're going to be able to go out into the community. We're going to be like we're doing here. I mean, God's already preparing us as we've been doing these door hangers and we've been knocking on doors and talking to people and getting them and invite them to our church. We're going to invite them to that church just like it's our own. And we're going to go out and we're going to witness and we're going to evangelize. But we're not only there just to evangelize. You know what else? We're there to encourage. We're going to encourage not only this little church, not only Brother Randy, but we're going to encourage this community.
Amen.
Because they're going to see a group of people who love them enough to get on an airplane in Atlanta, Georgia, fly all the way to Nova Scotia to get out and tell them about the love of Jesus.
Amen.
We want to be an encouragement to the community. We want to be an encouragement to Brother Randy. He's had a lot of things go on there in his life. He's there in a church that's been well established, been split one time. Some of us have been involved in those kind of things before. We know how discouraging that can get. Brother Randy's looking for help.
Yeah.
He's looking for encouragement. And we're going to get to be a part of it. Now, what about you that's not going? You get to encourage us. You get to tell us, hey, you know what? We're praying for you. We're going to be up there. We're going to still get text messages. We're still going to get emails. All you got to do is say, hey, we prayed for y'all today.
Amen.
We'll need it too. To evangelize and to encourage. But you know what we're going to do most of all? Is we're going to exalt the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to lift Him up. We're going to glorify Him in everything we do. Now, can I tell you? That's tough sometimes. And the closer we get to this trip, the more the team is going to see that. Because I can tell you right now, I could give you testimony this morning. I won't. But I can tell you how the devil was working in my life this morning. Mm. And he's going to be working on every one of our team members.
That's right.
He's going to be trying to discourage him. He's going to be trying to say, you can't go. You know what? Some of us who are going as a team are going to find out in that last 2 or 3 weeks, there's something that has to be done while we're going to be gone. And we're just going to have to give it to the Lord and let it get done some other way. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus because we're going to get there. We're going to say, you know what? The reason we're here is because God brought us here.
Amen.
We're going to lift up Jesus and we're going to teach Bible school. Brother Brinson is going to teach in an adult Sunday school, like a Sunday school class, almost a Bible conference every night. We're going to exalt the name of Jesus in this community. We're going to raise Him up so everybody can see Him. Who should go then on mission trips? If we know why we should go, then who should go? Well, first of all, those who care. If you don't care about people, you don't need to go on a mission trip. Because if you don't care about what's going on in people's lives, they're going to see it all over your face. I had an instructor say it one time. I didn't know where it came from. I actually had to look up the quote one time. Theodore Roosevelt said that if they don't know you care, they don't care what you know. So if we go up there with an attitude of, oh, we're just here to preach the gospel, we're super saints. And it's easy to get that way. And if we go up there with that kind of attitude and we take that kind of attitude up there, we're going to find out that people don't care. Because they don't think we care. Team, as I exhort you tonight, I want you to say, hey, you know what? I want a different heart. I want a heart that loves people. And you know, this is going to be a small fishing community. There's going to be some people up there that are hard to love. But if we don't love them and let them see it, they will not care for the love of Christ that we're trying to share. When I got to go on that mission trip as a teenager, we went into a small mining village there in West Virginia. It was a small community. As a matter of fact, we were outside of the town that we were staying in, that the church that was sponsoring us was at. We went into a small little community that was basically a mobile home park full of miners and their families and all their little kids. And can I tell you, the place was dirty. The place stunk. But you know what? We loved those kids. Because after about 2 or 3 days, we were pretty dirty and stunk too. But can I tell you, we loved on those kids. Those kids came to Bible school every night because somebody cared. Not only should those who care be able to go, but those who are chosen. We were just looking at this scripture here in Acts 13. God called out people to go. And can I tell you, if you are a member of this team, God has called you out to go. You might say, no, I just decided I was going to go. No, you didn't. You were here at the right time, at the right place. You heard that message and the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and that's why you're going. If you're not chosen, you're going to have a hard time. But I think everyone that's going on this trip is chosen. I look at this list, and I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I see 8 names on here that are 21 years old and below, and there's only 16 of us going. That excites me.
Amen.
Because that shows me a new generation.
Amen.
That's excited about what the Lord's going to
do.
Amen.
That's good.
It's not just a bunch of old folks like me. It's young people who love the Lord.
That's right.
Not only are they chosen, but they're committed. There's a story in the book of Acts in chapter 13, a little bit further down, about a guy by the name of John Mark. He went on that missionary trip, but he wasn't committed. Something happened. Now, we don't see in the Scriptures what exactly happened. All we know is he returned to Jerusalem. He left the missions trip. Now, we have the advantage that the people that are going with us cannot leave the mission trip. Because their flight back isn't coming back for a while. But the fact is we have to be committed to what we're doing before we ever get there. We've got to be committed to this Bible school. We've got to be committed to this community. We've got to be committed to this church. But most of all, we've got to be committed to the work of God.
Amen.
We've got to take our Bibles and probably study harder than we've ever studied. We've got to look through the plan of salvation probably harder than we've ever done it before. Because we're going to find out when we get up there, there are situations that are going to be completely different than what we've planned for. Brother Daniel and I were talking about it the other night, and we were talking about planning for our Bible school, whatever. But we really, all we can do is go with the idea of what we're going to do, because we don't know what we're going to face till we walk in the doors the first night.
That's right.
Now, we're committed. We're going to preach just as hard to one as we are going to 100. We're committed. But we're all in with God on what He wants to do.
Amen, Brother Ricky.
I feel this whole team is. So if we're if we know who's ought to go and why they ought to go, then what should be the results? Well, they should be the goals that we just set, right? First of all, we should be able to reach the lost. We ought to be reaching out to those who are in this community who are just lost, who have never heard the Word of God. You know, I didn't think, at 50 years old, I thought everybody had heard at least general Bible stories. And I didn't realize until I got involved with Good News Club that there's people that live within a 10-mile radius of me who have never heard the name of Jesus. Never. Ever. I had a young lady on a softball team that we were talking, and the guy who was helping me coach is a very committed Christian too, and we were talking about the life of David, and he was talking about David and Goliath, because our team was kind of small, and the giants that we faced in most of these teams was large, and he was talking about that, and we had one little girl on our team said, "Who is that?" And it amazed me, because I thought everybody knew basic Bible stories, and you know what? They don't. And we're here in the Bible Belt.
Right.
Our results are going to be to reach the lost. If we come back and somebody hadn't got saved, we probably hadn't done our job. If somebody hadn't been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ while we're up there, we haven't done the job that we went up there to do. Not only that, we ought to be not just reaching the lost, but a renewal of the servants. We talked about that church up there just a little bit. Think about some of the discouragement that's probably in those pews. I've seen small churches. And I was amazed when he showed me that picture. I punched Andrea. I said, "Look, that's our church. They moved it up there. Should we not be in a better place?" I mean, Andrea said, "Hey, we know where to sit. We'll just get our pews." May take somebody's pew, then we'll mess up the whole thing, right? But the fact is we need to help those servants who are already there and help renew their hearts with a new vigor for God.
Amen.
And you know how we do that? By getting in there and working right alongside them.
That's right.
We just get in there and serve right along with them. And we'll renew hearts. And then maybe we can even see a revival of the saints in that community.
Amen.
Remember, we talked about that church had split sometime. I know what happens with church splits. People get discouraged.
Sure.
People get angry. People move away. People say, "I'm never going back to that church again." And you may tell you what happens is they never go to any church again.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they get in places that they're not happy with. "Well, that's not what my church used to do." Well, no, it's not, because you left your church. And so we're going to find people in that community that we may even knock on their doors and say, "Hey, we're from over at Calvary." "Yeah, I know all about Calvary." But you know what? We may be able to say, "Hey, we're here to help."
Amen.
We're the first aid team. We're going to go rub a little salve on. We're going to go put a little Band-Aid on. We're going to do what needs to be done. And who knows? We may mend hearts and revive people who have been away from the Lord for years. I'm anxious. If that plane was leaving in the morning at 9:45, I'm ready to be on it. I'm serious. I'm excited because not only am I going, but my wife and two of my children are going. I mean, we make up a third of the team. And I'm glad. Because I want this experience to be a family experience. I've only got 2 more passports to buy and I can get my whole family to go somewhere. I'm excited. And team, can I encourage you, be excited now. Be excited about what God's going to do, not only in that community, but what He's going to do through you.
Amen.
In that community. The Lord's going to see something through. He's going to use us to be a part of. Brother?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Ricky. Well, we're going to just get ready to take up an offering. If the team would make their way up here, we're going to sing a song. We just want to lead in a song of worship. This is Brother Ricky. God impressed this song upon Brother Ricky's heart, and I'm so glad He did. That's what our theme is for this trip. We're going to serve. We're going to serve Calvary Baptist Church. We're going to serve Digby County, Plimpton, the village. We're going to serve the country of Canada, the province of Nova Scotia. We're just going to serve. And ultimately, we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me share this with you. If y'all want to just be seated just for a second. Let me just read a verse to you. I'm not going to preach it, but I want to share it before we do the offering. Go to Philippians chapter 2. And the Lord just laid this verse on my heart. Again, I'm not going to preach a message to you, but I do want to read it. And Philippians chapter 2. Listen to what Paul said about Epaphroditus, chapter 2, verse 25. He says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier." Get this. "But your messenger and he that ministered to my wants." You see, Epaphroditus was sent by the church of Philippi to go encourage the Apostle Paul. To go and take a love offering. They were supporting him. And to just go be an encouragement, a messenger. Folks, that's what we're going to do. This church right here is sending a team, a messenger, up to Nova Scotia, Canada, a place that none of us have been, a place that none of us have seen in person, a church that we've never seen, people we've never met. We're going to go be a messenger. And look what Paul said also about Epaphroditus in verse 30. He says, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, but get this, to supply your lack of service towards me." That was not a cut down. He was just saying, "Hey, Epaphroditus came and did what you couldn't do. We can't all go to Nova Scotia as a church. We got to have people here." But he said, "You sent a messenger." And church, that's what we're doing. We're just sending a messenger. Hey, listen, and if I have anything to do with it, by God's amazing grace and only by His grace, if I have anything to do with your pastor, this is only the first of many, many, many missions trips out of this church. Amen.